Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. Now Steve Geller joins us. And, Steve, before I throw it to you for triple option, tell us how well the Yankees have been playing lately.
Woof. Oh, man, it has not been pretty, Mike.
Woof.
The you know the kind of meme that objects in the rearview mirror are closer than they may appear? That's the Toronto Blue Jays right now in the AL.
Yeah, they're tied with the Yankees right now.
They came out of nowhere, man. Like, that was a team that got off to kind of a slowish start, but they've been hot recently, and they're playing the Yankees. Steve, you got to pick up a big W here.
I didn't think it would be the Blue Jays that they'd be battling in the AL East.
Yeah, I know that the Red Sox have been dealing with some injuries, and then the Rafi Devers trade kind of midseason was pretty random. But, you know, the AL East is going to be interesting to follow down the stretch for sure.
Come on, Charlie. Somebody just text me. Tell Charlie get over it. The Dodgers will win it again.
Oh, boo. Yeah, boo indeed. You know, we were joking off there about this because Cullen sent us a video, Steve and I, in our group chat, of, oh, Kershaw's 3,000th career strikeout. Congratulations to Clayton Kershaw. I hold no personal ill will against
him. God bless him.
But every time I think of Clayton Kershaw, as an Astros fan, there's one pitch that comes to mind. And that is game five of the 2017 World Series.
Boom.
Yuli Gurriel. Oh. Gurriel has tied it! I was in my dorm room in college, guys, at UL, and I was going so nuts that my next-door neighbor came and knocked on my door and told us to keep it down because it was like a Wednesday night.
I'm fixing to call the cops.
I'll never forget it, though. That's the
get the poo-poo out
Astros'
of you, man.
First championship in franchise history. They can never take that away from me.
Steve, you go first.
Well, guys, what better way to celebrate the 4th of July in America than with an SEC network takeover by LSU? The action starts actually 11 p.m. this evening. Game number one they're going to be showing is the football team taking on South Carolina. And, man, what a game that was to relive.
That was something.
Unfortunately, the game after it, which I'd be interested in, comes on 2 a.m., is the men's basketball squad taking on Oklahoma. And you get to see a little bit of the Pelicans draft pick in fears. But because that's at 2 a.m., I'm going to have to TiVo that or DVR it to stay tuned and watch that one. But after that, 4 a.m., you got the women's basketball team taking on Stanford. 6 a.m., I'll probably be up for that one. LSU baseball taking on Arkansas in the College World Series. And, man, oh, man.
Is that the final game?
That is the final game.
Oh, I didn't get to see that whole game because it was the same night as the Bayou Region Hall of Fame.
Right.
I heard it.
Yeah.
I heard Chris Blair on WWL call it, but I didn't get to see the entire game. No, I'll be up for 6 to watch that.
Guys, yeah, what a wild ending for that one.
I was in Austin, Texas for that one, and me and my buddies were in the hotel room, and we were watching the game, and as soon as it entered the ninth inning, because Arkansas held the lead, I'm just like, Arkansas has had history of these kind of choke performances in Omaha, and then all of a sudden, the next 30 minutes, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong for that Arkansas program, and they fell short once again in Omaha, guys. And
then, Steve, I told you the story as we leaving, you know, and everybody's trying to get out of the parking lot at the same time. And so that's when the outfielder for Arkansas misjudged the ball. I mean, it was hitting right at him. He's trying to make a play, and he sort of slips a little bit. I mean, you heard every brake squeal. And then the horns start blowing. You know, once you heard Blair's call of it, and they've tied the game in. You know, so I'm just thinking, you know, if you were living near, you know, where the venue were like, man, what the hell's going on over here with all this? No, now you might have been watching the game, so you understood. But, yeah, it was just a moment that kind of stays with you to hear everybody's reaction to Chris Blair's call that night of when it did happen.
When he will Lloyd, the Golden Spikes winner, doesn't go for the double play.
Scratching my head. I thought the game was over.
The best shortstop in college baseball that year. I'm like, what are you doing? And then Jared Jones comes through in the clutch as he had for many times in his final.
Yeah, so a great way to wake up tomorrow morning watching that one. 9 a.m., you got women's basketball taking on Tennessee. Another good one for me, I like to tune in. 11 a.m., the LSU football team taking on Ole Miss. You know, we see Jackson Dart taking on Nussmeier, and what a comeback win for the Tigers, getting it done in overtime there. The softball team is in action after that at 2 p.m., taking on Texas. Another men's basketball game against Arkansas, 4 p.m., 6 o'clock at night will be the SEC Gymnastics Championship, And then 8 o'clock to cap off the SEC Network LSU Takeover, the LSU baseball team's championship game against Coastal Carolina.
Nice.
So quite a 4th of July for LSU fans if you want to tune in to the SEC Network.
But as a break for the hot dog eating, come on, guys. I know I'll watch it. I don't know if you guys do, but, man, because, you know, the 1 year Chestnut, he got banned. He was involved.
Yeah, he's back now.
But he's back in the saddle. Man, that, come on. People's like, oh, that's disgusting to watch. Well, what the hell are you doing watching it then? And it was like, it's almost like intrigue. I got to see it, though, but I watch it every year.
I'm with you, Mike. There's almost there is a part of that that you're like, oh, my God, this is so gross and rough to watch, but I can't look away either.
Yeah, exactly. Charlie?
Guys, I'm going with a report from Jake Fisher, a national NBA reporter. And, guys, quote, I'm not expecting a Herb Jones trade, one of the best contracts in the Woo-hoo. League. New Orleans Good. Knows that. As much as New Orleans has done some funky things, quote, I don't think they're moving Herb Jones anytime soon. And for Pelican fans, that should be just ringing the bell. Everybody should be very, very excited that they're committing to Herb Jones long-term, even in this roster overhaul that Joe Dumars and Troy Weaver are going through with, you know, the bench players mostly. They understand the value of Herb Jones. They understand the value of that contract that he's on as well. And they will not be moving on from Herb Jones reportedly via Jake Fisher, national NBA reporter. Guys, when we were talking with Nick Friedell about last night, their pursuit of Jonathan Kuminga, right? He had mentioned that it would probably cost Herb Jones and maybe some draft capital on top of that.
No
way. Bring in someone like Kuminga.
And then you got to pay him.
And then you have to pay him. And if his representation wants a max deal, it's just not going to happen. There's no universe where that would make sense for the Pelicans. And from what I kind of read, they were trying to do something maybe to bring in Kuminga without having to give up either one of Herb Jones or Trey Murphy, which would have been pretty fascinating. But at the same time, how does the financial stuff work out with
exactly.
that? Because what are you going to be paying Kuminga if you bring him in? If you can convince him to take something smaller and still give, you know, maybe...
As Mike would say, good ruck.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good ruck, and I ain't doing it.
So that's just... That's step
I ain't
one.
Do Mars, but I ain't doing it.
Give, you still have to give Golden State some assets to get the trade done in the first place. So it's a really complex situation with Jonathan Kuminga, and with the fact that, once again, Jake Fisher reporting that the Pelicans are unwilling to move on from Herb Jones and view him as a core kind of building block of this roster, I kind of think that the Pelicans are out on Jonathan Kuminga. We'll see if I'm wrong.
Because there are a couple other teams that have sniffed around there, right. But boy, the Pels, every story you read or you hear about or you do a show with, they bring up the Pels in there. I just hope that that doesn't happen. I'll be honest with you. I don't see him as a standout player. I really don't. I think he, you know, if Kerr couldn't get the best out of him, what makes you think he's going to come here and be a great player?
The dreaded P word, Mike D. It's potential.
Potential.
Kid's got plenty of talent.
Pass on that.
He's got potential, but the production hasn't matched. And in the 4 years in the NBA, he has not exploded onto the scene. And I played it in the Sports Flash, and Friedell is right. If the Pelicans were going to make that move for Kuminga and sign him long term, you would be banking that he would be doing something that he has not done yet in the NBA. So I'm glad that they're probably distancing themselves away from making that type of move.
Yeah, the P that bothers me with that one, guys, is definitely price tag.
That as
I'm
well.
A big hard pass. Another P.
That's the other P word.
Right.
Price.